Okay, I think you got your handouts. We are started a series last week on the Ten Commandments, and so we'll pick it up where we left off there. A couple of things I'd like to say. Of course, Youth Conference is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. We will not have Bible study next Thursday night. Our Wednesday night service will be our midweek Bible study. I do want to encourage you to two things. Every single teenager in our church should be here, every single one. We have churches coming from out of state. We have several churches come in. We'll have a lot of delegates here. And so it would be a shame for those that go to our own church not to be able to come. And I mean this sincerely. If you have if there's a financial problem or something, you come talk to Brother Ross. Is that okay, Brother Ross? Okay, the second part you probably won't like. And Brother Ross is going to make sure you get paid for. So if you don't have the money, we'll work with you, but we can help you to get that. But we want you here. And then the second thing is this. I encourage adults, if at all possible, come to all the services. Most churches have a yearly what they call a revival meeting. And that they'll have services 3 or 4 days throughout the week in a row. We don't do that. I know we have a busy schedule, but one reason we don't do it is because kind of youth conference is kind of not just youth conference. It's kind of our summer revival for everybody because the preaching just applies. And so I encourage you, and I know it'll be a busy week, but if you come Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, you can take Thursday night off from church, okay? So you don't have to come. And if you want to come on Thursday, feel free. The doors will be locked, but you can show up if you would like to. We're looking at the Ten Commandments. We're not going to read all the verses there, but we started last week. We're going to focus in a minute on verse number 3, the very first one, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We said last week, by way of introduction, we were looking at why these are important, because the battleground of today's culture is the belief that there is no right or wrong, okay? That right or wrong is a moving target. And it constantly changes and with time and with people, and that is not true. There is a group that does, they do Christian-type studies to get the pulse of what America believes. They're called the Barna Group. And they did a study, and it showed that the current views on morality prove that it is becoming the norm in our current society, and not just with those who are not Christians. Here's some of the things they found out. Overall, 8 in 10 Americans express concern about the nation's moral condition. Now, that's encouraging, right? But we see that there's a disconnect as we get here. And yet the same people are confused about what or who determines morality. 2/3 of American adults admit that they believe morality is relative to the circumstances. So 8 out of 10, 80% of the people say, you know, we're concerned about the morality in America. And then 66% say that morality is relative to your situation. In other words, there is no right or wrong. Right or wrong is determined by the situation, and what you feel is best is what they are really saying. Disconnect. Over half of Americans and 3/4 of millennials are those between the ages of 16 and 36, think that what is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth you know. Now think about that. Raul, that study says whatever you feel is good for you and true for you is true. It works for you. That's truth. Now if that doesn't work for Robert, then it's not true for Robert. Robert has a different truth. Now we would understand that from those that don't know the Lord. But 40% of Christians also agree with that idea. How can a person say, "I'm a Christian," and yet believe that truth changes, that truth switches from person to person? There is no absolute standard of truth. We are confused. 2/3 of Americans agree that every culture must determine what is acceptable morality for its people. Now think about that. Okay? 2/3. 66% of the people say each society determines what is right. Then why did we have a problem with what Hitler did? Their society determined that it was okay to exterminate people. Let's put it on a par here. We're big on Southeast Asia. That means what Pol Pot did in Cambodia, killing millions of his own people, that's okay because his culture determined that that was fine at that time. You say, well, that's silly. That's good. That's not true. Then why do we believe it? See, because we don't want to look at its ridiculous extreme. There is a right and wrong, and we need to understand that. There's the president of Barna is David Kinnaman. He argues that the former Christian ethic that used to characterize our nation, although not everybody was a Christian, we were built on Christian ethics. Thomas Jefferson was not a believer by any stretch of the imagination. Neither was Benjamin Franklin. But they believed in the Bible, and they believed the truths of the Bible and the morality of the Bible, and thought that our society needed that to keep us on the path. That's not true anymore. See, that's been replaced with a new moral code. The new morality can be characterized by self-fulfillment and just doing whatever we want. And he gives some principles there, but I won't go into it for time's sake. How have we gotten to the place where we believe these things, not only in society, but the disturbing trend is among those who say they're Christians or those who say they're religious. How do we get here? We've thrown off God's authority. And when you throw off God's authority, there is a vacuum. And that vacuum has to be filled with something. And that something has been man's ideas. And that's why we are in big trouble. We looked at what we're calling this is God's law, love, and liberty. You say those two words don't really go together. Liberty is that which God, law is that which God commands us to do because he knows best and they are best for us. His commands aren't something God's trying to take from us. God wants what's best for us. Love is the motivation behind why God gave us the commands. And liberty is the result of following God's command. We started last week, and I'll just mention these out loud. We're not going to look at them because we already looked at them. We're just, by way of introduction to the Ten Commandments, we said we must understand the need for the commands of God, the needs. We must understand the power behind the Ten Commandments. That's the first two verses. The power is God. God has the authority and the right to tell us what is right. And then we said, number three, we must view them, the Ten Commandments, for the positive actions they promote and the blessings obedience to them can bring in our lives. Now, this is new. Number four. In the Ten Commandments, we see fleshed out God's greatest commands. We see God's greatest commands in the Ten Commandments. What are God's two greatest commands? The big two, we call them. Look at the verses there in Matthew in your paper. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. So he says, what's the greatest command? Loving God with everything we have. And the second, Jesus continued, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. You know what Jesus is saying? You can take all the commands of God, and they all point back in one way or another to these two greatest commands. A love for God and a love for others. Our relationship with God and our relationship with others. If you look at these two commands, you could separate them into our relationship with God or our relationship with man. God's commands are not there to put some unreasonable, archaic rules on us. They help us to demonstrate our love for God and our love for others. See, if we don't understand this, then we give God whatever we feel is love, and God may not feel that is love. We're defining what God gets. If we don't do that, then we're defining what it means to love other people when God says, no, I define what it means to love other people. Because we are human. We are finite. We don't have everything down. And so we need God to tell us what it is. Psychologists will tell us we don't love ourselves enough. The problem really is we love ourselves too much. We could back off of the love of ourselves, and we need to throw a dose of that on our love for God and our love for others. We don't like these because anything that smacks of restrictions is seen as something that keeps me from what I want, that keeps me from being happy. But that couldn't be the farthest thing from the truth, because God wants you to have joy, and God knows what's best for you when it comes to joy. And the way we have joy is to have that right relationship with Him and have that right relationship with others. And God helps us with that. Number five, the Ten Commandments, and I already said this, so we'll just give it to you, the Ten Commandments are really broken up into two categories, and we already mentioned it. A, our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. And B, our relationship with people. By the way, those two are interwoven together. If you want to have better relationships with people, then you need to have a better relationship with God. Because the closer we get to God, the more we learn His principles, the more we become like what He wants us to become, the more we will have the character qualities that allow us to have right relationship with others. Now, we talk about the family on Sunday nights, and there are some specific things we can talk about. But fact of the matter is, anytime you learn a character quality from the Bible and put that into practice in your life, it is going to help you in your relationship with others. I mean, we could just do a whole family series and just start with the fruit of the Spirit and go there. You say, well, we've talked about that before. I'm sure we all don't have it down yet. Okay? We need to constantly work on it. So it's very vital that those two are kept in their place. Morality, right and wrong, obedience and disobedience to God affects relationships also. There is no way around that. Relationships, by their very nature, must be selfless. That's hard for us, isn't it? How many people are like, well, I'm just not getting what I need in this relationship? It's kind of I don't know what the word they would say. It's kind of a truth that's hard to get, but the way to get what you want out of a relationship is not to worry about what you get in a relationship, but worry about what you put into the relationship. Because if you put into the relationship, you're usually going to get out of the relationship what you were looking for without working for it. Say, what'd you just say? I have no idea. See, because that's a byproduct. When you're putting into that relationship and you're building that relationship and it's getting better, you know what happens? It's also better for you. And so the two work together. Proverbs says this. I like this verse. It kind of speaks about both of these things together. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. See, when we're pleasing God, it'll help us in relationship to the point that even those that would have ill will against us, we can kind of smooth that over. Why? Because we're growing in our faith. Number six. So, to tie it all up by way of introduction, what do we need to understand about the Ten Commandments, and what options do we have? Okay? And I'm just going to, we've alluded to some of them, but I just want to lay it out for you so we understand why the Ten Commandments are important. You ready? Letter A, everybody needs rules to live by. You can call it what you want. You can call them rules. You can call them standards. You can call them commands. You call it whatever you want. All of us need those. When someone doesn't want that, that's an issue. You say, well, in the whole hierarchy of things, there's levels of leadership, and this person's over that person. God's over all of you and all of me, right? We all need that. That's just common sense. If we're left to ourselves without any spiritual guidance, without any spiritual guidelines, we're going to go astray. Somebody was asking me a while ago, they were asking to do something, it was related to the school, and I'm like, we have a policy, you know, we can't do that, we have a policy. And they're like, oh, that's just politics. I'm like, no, it's not politics, it's policy. Because if you don't have policy, then you do play politics. But policy says, this is a guideline, this is what we do, and that applies to everybody. We all need that. You know, here's a husband. I'm the leader of my home. Well, who leads you? Why am I supposed to follow me? What if you're being a knucklehead? Okay? And I'm not saying she shouldn't follow you, but I'm saying you're not following God. Good example there. Okay? We need that, right? I don't know about you, but I need to be kept in line or else I get out of line. And so I need rules to live by. God will help. We see that in our society. It's sad if you have any kind of spiritual sense at all, what has happened primarily in the last 3 or 4 years, and it's speeding up, some of the things that our country just cannot get right, it's downright scary. Yep. And we say things that are common sense like, I don't know, there's two genders. And that's controversial. A guy should use a guy's restroom, and that's controversial. 5, 6 years ago, that wouldn't have been controversial. Why is our society veering? Because there is no right and wrong now. And so once that's lost, if it gets lost, I'm not trying to be a pessimist, but let's say we lose that battle, it'll be something else. It'll be something else. The marriage thing, then it went from marriage to transgender to bathrooms. What's next? There's going to be something silly. You say, to me, it doesn't make any sense because I'm trying to gauge it by the Bible. But if you think about it, if somebody doesn't believe the Bible and truth is whatever you think truth it is, then that kind of just, to them, makes sense. But our society is going down. We have forsaken God in the downward spiral. Children. Your children need guidelines. We've thrown that out. The reason we have adults now that don't want guidelines is because we started with the young'uns. Okay, we all need guidelines, and we need them. Letter B. So everybody needs a set of rules to live by. Letter B. There is a definitive right and wrong. It's not open for debate. Thank God there is something where we could say, you know what? There are some things that are right, and there are some things that are wrong. And again, we already understand that comes from the authority of God, which is helpful to us. It's not a moving target. It doesn't change from person to person. It's not something that is optional. It's not something that can be ignored. Oh, we can disobey it. That's our choice, and God gives us free will, but it doesn't make it right. There is a definitive right and wrong. Letter C. God's rules overrule all others. God's rules overrule all others. Peter was faced with that and the other apostles. Here's what they said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now, if our society says that the speed limit is 65, okay, I have a problem with that. I remember back when, how many remember back when it was 55? That was ridiculous. It was really a little bit too slow. But 65. That's a safety issue. They say there's a line down the middle of the road. If you're going that way, because this isn't Europe, if you're going that way, you're on this side of the line. And if you're going that way, well, either way, you're always on the right side of the line, okay? Okay, I'm not going to fight. I have freedom. I want to drive on the other side. I identify with a northbound car when I'm going southbound. That doesn't work, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if the government comes out and says, you can't worship God anymore, I have a problem with that. The Bible tells me I'm supposed to worship God. So some things are not optional. God's law is the number one. Our country is trying to legislate and violate and abandon our beliefs. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, Luke, the Air Force guy. Did you hear about that? I saw the video. An Air Force, retired Air Force, I don't know what his rank was. He was invited to a flag folding ceremony. He was reciting, how many of you heard about that? He was reciting the flag folding ceremony that has been traditional. It mentions God. He mentioned God, and three soldiers got up and physically threw him out of the building for mentioning God. Okay? That's kind of ridiculous. Our society is getting like that. But, you know, we just need to say, you know what, I know what our country says, but I know what God says, and I'm just going to follow what God says. Yeah. Letter D. Our key relationships in life depend on how we follow God's law. We've mentioned that. We must follow God's law. Letter E, God is the ultimate lawgiver. He has the right and he has the authority to tell us what to do. Now, so what does that mean for us? The last two, and then we'll look at the first commandment. Letter F, we have a choice to make in these matters. In other words, it is called free will. Free will. You can choose. Now, you cannot change what is right and wrong. Hear me on this. You can make laws to say it's not right and wrong, but that doesn't change the fact that God's the ultimate lawgiver. There are some things that are right. There are some things that is wrong. You just have the choice whether you're going to be obedient or not. That's it. That's the only choice you have. Are you going to follow what God says or not? That's our choice. You say, why is that a big deal? Well, look at the next point. Our choices do have consequences. Well, I have the freedom not to do what God says. You do. But you do not have the freedom to choose the consequences of not doing what God tells you to do. I have the freedom, George, to get on the freeway on the way home and go 80 miles an hour. So have you ever done that? I have the freedom to get on the freeway. Remember, I used to go from here to Monterey Park, right? I taught my Sunday school class. I was late. I got on the freeway. I was not paying attention, Brother Montgomery. I think I was going 85. And it was a little bit, and I got pulled over by a CHP. And I think he had a really bad morning because he was taking it out on me. And I'm respectful of the police. I'm like, I don't blame them for pulling me over. I was speeding. I shouldn't have been speeding. It's like, you know what I've been doing all day? And I'm like, oh, that I don't need a trick question. I'm like, no, sir, I don't. I've been pulling over people like you. Like, I am so sorry. Give me your license. So I gave it to him. When he came back, he was a little nicer. He goes, you know, I'm not trying to get on you. It's just a little wet. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I'm like, hey, I'm not arguing with you. I was wrong. He gave me a ticket anyhow. I was just hoping if I'd be nice, you know, he'd like, come here, break. I had the freedom to go 85, and he had the freedom to give me a ticket. And then I got the privilege of paying almost $300. What a blessing. That's why I don't go to Monterey Park anymore. I chose, albeit in my ignorance, to go that fast, but I didn't. The consequence of paying the money was out of my control. And that's what we do. I love this phrase someone has said. I think it's in your paper. You cannot break God's commandments. You can only break yourself against them. See, God's commandments are like a rock. They're going nowhere. We're on vacation. We'll drive up to Oregon Coast. We're going to go in a few weeks. And Oregon Coast is beautiful. The difference between, it starts in northern California and the coast is, there's all these huge rocks right off the coast. How many know what I'm talking about? They're huge, right off the water. The water pounds on those things, and they're not going anywhere. Okay, they're not going anywhere. That's what we do. No, Lord, I'm gonna buck your commandments, and we're banging ourselves against them, and God says, my commandments aren't leaving. Okay, they're best for you. We only hurt ourselves when we don't listen. Let's get started with the first commandment, okay? Commandment number one, thou shall have no other gods before me. Here's the principle. You see it right there. God wants an exclusive relationship. That's it. There isn't any other gods. God didn't say, can I be one of many? Can I just be on your list? Can you just acknowledge me every now and then? God says, no. There is no list. The list starts and ends with me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. One of the greatest challenges we face daily as Christians is that challenge of keeping God exclusive in our lives. We don't worship rocks. We don't worship the sun, God. We don't worship pictures or idols. But there are things that try to squeeze God out of our life. Now, that's not an idol, and it's a little more sophisticated, but it's taking that exclusive relationship that is for God. This sounds so much easier. Most Christians want Christ to be a part of their lives. They don't want Christ to be the center of their life. They don't. I'll take a little bit of God. God doesn't want you to have a little bit of him. God wants you to have the whole thing. Okay? And so that's not really an option. After all the years, if you think as he's giving it to the Israelites, after they spent all those years in Egypt, there was a multiplicity of gods, and there was many false gods there. And God's trying to get that out of them because it's going to be a temptation as they get into the land. And so he's getting them to realize that there must be an exclusive relationship. By the way, that's not unusual in our society, right? Marriage? Marriage is exclusive. TT and Edgel get married a week from Saturday. Is that it? No, 2 weeks. I don't know. If one of them bails out, maybe not. 2 weeks? 2 weeks from Saturday. You know what that is? That's them coming down the aisle and spending a lot of money. They're coming down the aisle and they're saying, we're entering into a new relationship. And it's exclusive. Nick and Hannah, they'll be there soon. Okay? There's others. Joy, unless you wise up, you're going to make that mistake. Just kidding. You're going to enter. It's a, what, you know what? I didn't want to go down the aisle. Well, I didn't walk down the aisle. My wife did. It's the only time she ever walked down the aisle, by the way. You'll get that later. So she walked down the aisle, and I'm standing there, and I didn't want to hear, you know, do you have this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, yada, 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 yada. Here's what I wanted to hear. Oh, there you are. How you doing? You ready? It's scary. Here's what I wanted to hear. I do. Always and forever. Not like sometimes, when the mood strikes me. Now, this would never happen, but she would say, unless I meet a better-looking guy. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Okay? No. You know what I wanted? I wanted exclusive rights to her, and for some unforeseen reason, she wanted exclusive rights to me. I still don't get it, but you said it. I do. I'll take it. You know, that's what God wants. That's why if you read the Old Testament, you know the picture God uses of his people being unfaithful to him? You know what the picture is? Adultery. Why? Because that's an exclusive relationship. And God says, I don't want any other gods. I want an exclusive relationship. By the way, in a good marriage where couples are completely committed to each other, there's a freedom there. A freedom in a complete trust in one another, knowing that no matter what happens, that person is there for you. No matter sometimes if there's irritations or even fights, you get over it because you love each other. And nothing's going to break that apart. There's freedom in that. But it only comes when you make the commitment. The same is true of God. One of the reasons that the Israelites needed to rid the land of the Canaanites when they went into the promised land is because they worshiped false gods. And by the way, their gods were very evil. We'll look at it later, how bad they were. And God didn't want to have anything to do with that and said, you get them all out of the land. Nobody is to be left. Why? He knew if they did not take care of business and exterminate, what would happen is they would start worshiping their false gods. And you know what happened? They got a little lazy. They started letting some of the people of the land stay there. And guess what happened? They started worshiping their false gods. God says, I want an exclusive relationship with you. So what are some points behind this? Number one. We'll do number one tonight probably and we'll be done. This is common sense. There is only one God. That's it. Now, we talk about other gods. We say that with a small g, not capital. Okay? Because it's not a real God. There's only one true God. Now, there are several beliefs about God. I believe you have them there on your paper. Atheism. What does atheism say? No God. Atheism said there is no God. Let me tell you this. That takes a great deal of faith to believe. Okay? I have a watch on. My son bought me. I want another one. Can you give me another one? No. To me to say, you know, this watch made itself. One day at the store, there was nothing. And then that nothing blew up. And there was a box with my watch in it. You say, that's ridiculous. That makes no sense. Well, here's what evolutionists say, because they have to find a way for us to get here, right? There's no God. We showed up somehow. So once upon a time, there was nothing. And there was a lot of nothing. And so a lot of this nothing blew up. And after all this nothing blew up over all this time, this nothing became us. We evolved. Listen, we didn't evolve very good. Say, well, we used to have a tail. That thing would come in handy. Right? You're carrying something, it's like that tail could open that door for you. Okay? Or your kid's running away, it's like that tail can like right, bring it in. Tails are handy. By the way, breathing underwater would come in handy. Why did we get rid of that? Because it's a fairy tale for adults. It takes a great deal of faith to believe there's no God. I think it was Stephen Hawking. He's this anti-God atheist that believes that we're nuts and we're psychotic and we're harmful to society. I saw a video. It's called Expelled. It's a non-Christian guy showing how if professors start to believe in special creation, they lose their jobs in universities. So they asked him, like, well, where do you think we came from? And he mentioned evolution. He goes, but you know what? We may have been placed here by aliens. Brilliant. That's brilliant. So atheism says no God. Polytheism. Poly means many. That means there's many gods, not just one. You have a God. You have a God. You have a God. You have a God. Wasn't it where Paul was on Mars Hill? They had all these inscriptions, all these different gods. They even had one to the unknown God just to cover their bases. Okay? There isn't many gods. That's important for a reason. We'll see that later. Then, here's one that's weird. Pantheism. Pan means all. Pantheism means everything's God. There's the God force in the tree. I feel God in the wind. So when I turn my fan on at night, that's God? That's called New Age. And we believe the God force lives inside of us. That could just be indigestion. That's ridiculous. By the way, that has led to, and I'm not saying we should trash the environment. Don't get me wrong. I know you're going to get mad. They're making the earth a God. Listen, this earth's going to blow up one day. I'm not saying we should trash it. And really, I am thankful. I remember as a teenager, if you've lived in Long Beach your whole life, the pollution in Long Beach used to be horrific when I was a teenager, all the time. It's gotten better with some regulations, but I think it's going overboard now. But like, we worship Mother Earth. There is no Mother Earth. Okay? This nutcase, her name is Kuan Pu Lan. She's a Chinese feminist. Sorry, Cindy. She said this at a ladies' conference in America. If we cannot imagine Jesus as a tree, as a river, as wind, or as rain, then we are all doomed together. You know what that is? Ignorance. I guess Seattle, they have a lot of God because it rains a lot. Jesus must love it up there. Plus they have coffee, so that's another good reason. Okay, can I just tell you something? God's not in everything. There's a one personal God. And then what we believe in is monotheism. What is that? There's one God. You say, why do you mention all that? Because only one can be right. Our society says, well, if you believe that's right for you. And if you believe that's right for you. No! One's right. What the book says. We've substituted philosophies in the place of God. Look at these and we'll be done. Secularism. What is secularism? exclusion of religious considerations. Everything's just about man on this earth. There is no God, none of that stuff. It's all about what we do. It says that religion is not important. We don't need God. Man is the final word. That's secularism. By the way, our culture is very secular. Very secular. Pluralism. This says all gods are the same. Whatever a person chooses to worship is fine. No, whatever a person chooses to worship, it's their choice, but it doesn't make it right. If I decide that God is in the tree or in the river, listen, there's only one good thing in the river. God's not in the river. It's fish, and they need to be caught. That's it. I don't go up, when we go on our annual fishing trip, we're not up there to see God. I'm there to see fish, and I want to see him on the hook, and I want to see him on the side of the river. And then I want to see him in a frying pan so someone else can eat him, not me. Okay? That's not God. There are all these different, no, there's not. There's one. Tolerance is a buzzword, which means I have to accept what another person believes, here's the key, as equally valid. Now, in our country, you have a right to believe what you want, whether you're right or wrong. But tolerance doesn't mean I have to agree with what you believe is right. No, I do not. It's America. And then humanism. Humanism is the thought that man is his own God and conscience. In other words, if we just try hard enough, we will usher in a wonderful new age. Well, we've been working on it for many, many years. How's that going? I think in the history of the world, there's only been a few short years that there hasn't been a war somewhere on this earth. Man doesn't do very good with that. So what's the point? There's only one God. And that's why God demands an exclusive relationship with him. Let's pray.